It's like you see that overlay that the Terminator has, and it like highlights a drink.
Yes.
And it says, if you drink this, yes, minus one headache, minus two hungover the next day, minus three, you'll be very sleepy the rest of the night. And so, you know, you get your final analysis, right, out of it. And then there's maybe like a plus one for like, oh, yeah, it's a tasty drink. Like, no, that's not enough.
You can hear a robotic voice in your own head just saying, not worth it.
Yeah.
And we're live. Hello, Ken.
How you doing, Jake?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
That's good. That's good. I'm excited to go about our phase one review with you. You were just saying before we hit record that, you know, trying to go after the entire Infinity Saga and rankings and everything, like, we're too early on that because we still have to get through phase three. But it's like we need to handle it in, like, little chunks along, yep, the way for sure. Each phase is its own little beast.
You gotta take a pit stop. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I just, like most people, wouldn't try and watch all of these films at once. I mean, you can't. There's so much that happens in these films. Yeah. I feel like it's important to take a little pit stop, recap what we think are some of the most important films of phase one.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the most memorable characters in our opinions, and just sort of take a look back as we make our way to the end of phase two and eventually phase three.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We will still be taking on that grand review of all of the films at some point.
Yeah.
So this will also selfishly come in handy for us later on when we're trying to reference all that.
Yeah. I'm nervous for anybody that ever fact checks us on, like, what, you know, wait, you ranked this here in your yeah, phase one review, but then you put it ahead of, yeah, it'll come back to bite us, but we're being brave. It's fine.
We will. At some point, we will likely add that column to our spreadsheet to keep track of the scores, yes, that we're giving.
Yeah.
Because I've already found myself saying, wait a minute, did I give that film a higher score, even, right, though I'm saying this is the best, right, film yet?
Right, right.
Because,
right,
I feel like I'll say that, mm-hmm, as we continue to see more films like Guardians, right, of the Galaxy 2, Ragnarok, right, Infinity War.
Exactly, exactly.
This is the best one. I'm going to say that to at least five films. Yeah. So anyway, that's what we're doing today. This is a different episode, obviously, yes, as Jake mentioned. It's going to be a shorter one. Yeah. And we're going to hit a couple categories that we think are important to discuss. So we'll, yeah, be going over what we think is the most important film of the phase, mm-hmm, phase one, the least important movie of phase one, best character from these films, and we will be ranking the various brews that we've tried.
I'm excited about that one, the ranking brews. So, let's get down to it. Let's get down to it, man. Let's open it up with most important movie of the phase. I want to open up with you, man. What do you think was the most important movie of
the most these important movies? Movie
we have,
of phase.
We have Iron Man, Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, the First Avenger, and Marvel's The Avengers.
That's a tough question. I'm obviously,
mm-hmm,
I'm saying that knowing we already had this question coming, so it's not like you surprised me with it, Jake, but I think from like a business standpoint, the most important film was Iron Man because this was their first real serious, yes, foray into, yeah, making these films a big deal. Yeah. And yeah, there was a Hulk made before this with Eric, sure, Bana, and you know, we've talked about that before, but if you look up online what is considered the actual Avengers films, mm-hmm, you know, canon, it starts with Iron Man.
Yes.
And so that there was a lot riding on that. And there was a lot riding on Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And they were trying to figure so much out in that, mm-hmm, film. But, man, they did a really good job, and they built an empire out of, yeah, it. So from a business standpoint, I would say that. But yeah, from an information standpoint, like what is actually important to the rest of the films,
yeah,
and it probably would be The Avengers. My personal, sure, favorite, yeah, out of these, though, is, yeah, is probably Iron Man 2. I thought Iron Man 2 was awesome.
No, yeah, so, yeah. Within Phase 1, that one's great. Yeah, so you're sticking with the Avengers as the most important one?
I think it's the most important film. If you didn't see all of the others, you can go back and watch them, and it's not going to... I mean,
that's true, yeah.
And in all true honesty, Jake, you can skip the Avengers. And we've talked about this, and start midway through and still be fine. Yeah. Now, you would be missing some things, but... As I've pointed out, I'm a little critical of that film, The Avengers, because they don't explain things very well. No. So if you watch, if you start halfway through, let's say you start at the beginning of Phase 3 or even halfway through Phase 2, and then go back and watch The Avengers, it may make more sense to you than if you had watched it in the actual order it was supposed to go in.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about Ant-Man in our most recent episode about how, like... you know, Ant-Man is so different, as well as Guardians of the Galaxy, for the reason of it, you know, not taking itself so seriously. Sometimes you just have to take a movie for it being, like, a fun thing. And I think that's all how we all digested the Avengers the first time. It's like, oh, they're all together. It's so much fun. It's sporty. It's action-packed. And, like, there's humor and all that. And once again, Robert Downey Jr. gets to shine. And, you know, Chris Hemsworth doesn't have blonde eyebrows. Like, it's just a win all around. I think it was just we all stepped into the Avengers so optimistically that it's like, okay. Yeah, it's a little bit harder to digest now. You made a strong case for Iron Man being the most important movie. I'm gonna stick with Iron Man being the most important movie of Phase 1. Yeah, because there's, like you said, the business standpoint... Like, if that doesn't succeed, it all crumbles, right?
Right.
But all the risks that they took, I think it set that tone for the rest of those movies. I think in each of those episodes for Phase 1, probably not so much in Incredible Hulk, but every single one of those films was like, they were taking a risk. And if there wasn't that model from Iron Man first to say, like, this is what the risk kind of looks like, and this is how you support the star... And this is how we create some continuity with the character going forward. So I'm sticking with that as the most important movie. I say that just from, like, a cultural standpoint, I think. Like, the culture of, like, the whole MCU. Where, like, I'm totally aware, yeah, sure. The Avengers, you could say, is the most important movie because of the plot. And its influence on the meta-narrative of the Infinity Saga. But I'm going with Iron Man.
I don't think you can go wrong at that choice.
No.
And really, you can't even get to that stage of not taking yourself that seriously unless you prove yourself first with these other films.
That's a good point.
And I think, like you said, there was so much riding on this. Mm-hmm. And Robert Downey Jr., I feel like it was a really hard, challenging thing to come in and embody Tony Stark, but doing it in a way that Marvel wanted to broaden the audience not just people that have watched comics, and they didn't want this to be a comic-y movie. They wanted this to be like a blockbuster film. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I feel like they really tried to set out to do. Yeah. Like these. The Phase 1 films are serious. They're not, like, they have some humor in them, but they're way different from, like, Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy. They had to, like, prove these stories, and they brought in all of these experienced older actors to be in these films with the, you know, the main stars of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans. And I feel like they did that. They really wanted to do that, and they succeeded. I think a lot of people seeing those films, even if you say, like, I don't know, I'm not really a comic person, comic book person, it doesn't matter. You can see these films. They're great films.
Absolutely.
And they hold up. They stand on their own 2 feet just from that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have to give an honorable mention to Thor as most important movie of Phase 1. I just say honorable mention because really, like, everything involving the Tesseract and, like, the meta-narrative of going into the Avengers, as well as peeking a little bit into Phase 2. Like, none of that happens without the Thor-Loki setup, of course. So, honorable mention to that one. But, all right, you have Avengers as most important movie of Phase 1. I have Iron Man as most important movie of Phase 1. Least important movie of Phase 1. This is a hard one.
I'm going to say Avengers.
Really? As well. No, I'm just kidding. it's on the polar. Yeah,
it is both.
Yeah, right. It can be. Least important movie of Phase One.
Yeah, why don't you go first this time?
I mean, I hate to say it, like
you're going
to
say Avengers. I know it. Or no, Iron. Wait, no. Let me guess. Iron Man 2.
No. It has to be Incredible Hulk. It has to be. I hate to say it. It has to be. Because, like, there's not a big influence on the meta-narrative. Unfortunately, Edward Norton's out after that movie.
Yeah.
We don't see Liv Tyler washing hair ever again after that one film. And that really could have had a strong influence on the rest of the whole Infinity Saga. Just her hair-washing abilities alone. Maybe that was the whole thing that could have helped Mark Ruffalo eventually control the Hulk, but
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Alas, we're not blessed with Liv Tyler for the rest of the Infinity Saga. Anyway, all jokes aside, least important movie it has to be Incredible Hulk for those reasons. What do you think?
I agree. Okay. It's the Incredible Hulk for me too. I think it just the movie itself feels the most out of place when you look at the rest of these films.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. The same character doesn't even play the Hulk.
Yeah.
The storyline does not actually matter if you don't see this film. It literally has no bearing. And I guess you could say that for Iron Man, but you kind of need to know where it all starts. So can't really skip that one. Maybe you could skip Iron Man 2 and, you know, potentially Captain America. But I think that this one... Literally, there's nothing. There's no Infinity Stone mentions. No. You hear a little bit more about the Hulk.
Yeah.
And as far as the film was made, it's got more of like, I know they were still, you know, trying to pull out that big blockbuster feel, but it's really got a sort of Transformers feel to it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the spectacle of like computer generated things fighting each other. And yeah, I can understand.
And like that. The filters that they use for the filmography kind of look like LOMO filters, LOMography.
I actually don't know.
Greenish hues on everything and like dark blues and shady.
Gotcha.
Okay. You know, high contrast.
Yeah.
Like very, very similar to those sort of films. And I felt like this. It felt like a Transformers film in some ways, that one. So
I could see why you would say that.
Doesn't fit. But again, it's the second film that they made in the series, so
Right.
It's kind of understandable.
It is understandable. A thought that I had about the Hulk, just in Phase One and why The Incredible Hulk is the least important movie in our opinion, like, if you think about what Mark Ruffalo does and how they wrote the Hulk into the Avengers movie... It's like they're re-explaining him to you anyway.
Yeah.
It's like they kind of understand there's going to be some continuity issue and some confusion probably with the audience about like, wait, does the Edward Norton movie have anything to do with this? Also, like, Robert Downey Jr. was in the Incredible Hulk movie, but was that just kind of an awkward coincidence? Like, they had to clarify again because of the recasting, so...
I think literally, Jake, the only... somewhat important thing from the film, because like you said, you can explain in 5 seconds how the Hulk works.
Yeah.
Oh, it's this big green guy,
mm-hmm.
and when he gets angry, he turns into the Hulk,
exactly.
and he's like unstoppable.
Yes.
Okay. That's a pretty easy concept to explain. But I did think that the whole sort of storyline that you had talked to me about with the super soldier serum mm-hmm. and how that. You know, the Hulk stemmed from that with Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't know. And so that, you know, having gone back and watched the movie for this, that was interesting. That added something that I didn't know before.
Yeah, and they say that in the Avengers movie, you know, like when I think it was, Agent Coulson is talking to Captain America on this jet, and he just tells him real, real fast, like, he was trying to go after the serum that you made, but it died with Dr. Erskine, so... this is what they ended up with because of gamma radiation met with your serum. So, it's like they clearly had to cover their tracks again, making it seem like, okay, this movie mm-hmm. was disposable.
Yeah.
So, unanimous least important movie, unfortunately. Sorry, Incredible Hulk fans. Best character of Phase One. Ken, I'm starting off with you because I started the last category.
I literally don't think I could make an argument for anyone other than Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
three of these films, he's in three of these films, mm-hmm. right? Iron Man, Iron Man 2, and the Avengers yeah. and
he makes a cameo in Incredible Hulk.
That's right.
And his dad is in Captain America, the First Avenger. Sure.
Yeah, so he plays either a prominent role, either being the star or, you know, indirectly or, you know, one of the stars. But I think more important than that, he was the face of this whole vision that Marvel had. I mean, there was so much riding on him doing a good job with this. Mm-hmm. And he had... I mean, it was kind of questionable, in my opinion, how he would do. I mean, he had kind of a sordid past, and this was a new opportunity for him. Mm-hmm. But he just did it so well, and he played the part so well.
Yes,
it was like it was so natural to him. And mm-hmm. when you see a film like The Avengers, it is so clear now that he was by far the most comfortable actor there. I mean, he was very comfortable in his role. He was very comfortable with what he was doing. And, you know, he really made it work. And I think he became, you know, an icon. A lot of people, you know, became huge fans of Iron Man, you know, still to this day because of Robert Downey Jr. and just how well he played the role. So... yeah, I've got to give it to him. I don't know. I don't think I can make the claim that anyone else is deserving of this phase.
Same. Yeah, and that's my pick as well, as Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Tony Stark / Iron Man. There was something actually we mentioned in our Avengers episode about the kind of coaching that you see from actors of the older generation. Like we've talked about that in several films. I know we talked about that in Thor. We mentioned Jeff Bridges. We've mentioned Anthony Hopkins. We've mentioned several actors that are, well, and of Michael course Douglas. Samuel Jackson, Michael Douglas. So we've mentioned so many actors of an older age and of an older generation influencing, you know, all the main characters of the MCU. And in The Avengers, you kind of see Robert Downey functioning as that for the core six Avengers.
Totally.
Yeah, because I remember us talking about, with Jeff, our guest for The Avengers, we were all talking about, like, how he's acting in that film. He's, like, really kind of, like, the point person for each of the Avengers. He's, like, trying to... Not that, like, the other Avengers are weak in their acting or by any means. It's just that you could tell that he was the... person who brought the energy
and really the humor.
Oh, totally.
There were some funny things with some of the other characters, but by far he's the funniest.
Absolutely.
I think if you took Robert Downey Jr. out of that film, mm-hmm. you'd have a very bland film.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, we talked about how little Thor has to say in the whole movie.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Hulk plays a pretty good role in the Avengers film, but again, he's not, you don't get comedic relief with him.
No.
And you really don't, you know, have a whole lot of, you have some pretty deep moments with him, but Captain America is very, in my opinion, you know, straight laced, mm-hmm. very predictable in what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Doesn't joke around. And so you have a group of characters like that. You got to have someone who can bring some of that humor and levity to the group and sort of be that person who's going to try and use his Iron Man suit to lift Thor's hammer by cheating. You know, that person.
You need that kind of relief and leadership. And I mean, he was, you know, all these guys had plenty of experience in other things. Like, it's no secret Scarlett Johansson came in with plenty of experience. She was young at the time. Like, not that she's not young now, but she was very young then. And Chris Hemsworth, nobody knew who Chris Hemsworth was before the MCU. At least I didn't. Chris Evans, people had seen him in some things. Anyway, yeah, Robert Downey was the one that was coming in with, you know, some dirt under his fingernails, like... with the experience, so
yeah,
and I completely agree with you. Who knows what the Avengers would be like without him?
True,
it would be weird. to even think of anybody else.
I don't know. I'd love to see someone's ideas for who they think could have done it, if not him.
Well, you know, I don't know if we were ever mentioned in our first episode on Iron Man. Like, Tom Cruise was the original guy to be thought
was
of.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I don't know how far they were into that whole deal, but...
Well, I can kind of see that because he's got a ton of energy, but
sure.
I don't see Tom Cruise as someone who is very comfortable in those sort of comedic situations.
No.
Like, he takes himself way too seriously.
Way too seriously. Way too seriously.
You don't ever see him being like the Playboy character who's... You know, rushing in, making a fool of himself, and then, right. You know, figuring out an ingenious way. Yeah. I mean, again, this is all speculation, because at the time, before Iron Man, if you told me Robert Downey Jr., I don't know. I'd probably say, I don't know about him either, right?
Right.
But it just worked.
Yeah.
And I think he's someone who just never really rested on his laurels. Like, he, you know, put in... the hard work every single time in these films, and I think that's pretty apparent. But
yeah, well, and like just on the idea of Tom Cruise maybe not being able to do the same thing, like even if we think about the character he plays as Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible, like he's not really the guy that's bringing the energy. If anything, he's bringing like the burden to the group, like always fixing things, always putting his life on the line, stuff like that. But with a completely different tone than Tony.
Very different, yeah.
The Plant Era is on a mission to develop the world's best sports nutrition. This vegan organic protein powder comes with no sugar, dairy, gluten, and artificial sweeteners. It'll surely elevate your performance. So please check out The Plant Era and use the checkout code PLANTERA for 10% off your next order.
This next category, we said was going to be tricky before we hit record. Ranking the brews for our Phase 1 episodes. Ken, what brews do we have from Phase 1?
From Phase 1, we have the Casey Beer Company Heffenweizen, which was paired with Iron Man. Mm-hmm. The Green Giant for the Incredible Hulk. The Naked and Famous Cocktail for Iron Man 2. Mead for Thor. We had an Old Fashioned for Captain America, the First Avenger, and a Long Island Iced Tea for the Avengers. So lots of drinks in there. Yeah. Some cocktails, some things that you could just go buy in the store.
Yeah.
So ranking these brews, man, Jake, I'm gonna have you start with this one.
Here, let's rotate this. We'll go, you know, like, I'll do 6, you do 6, I'll do 5, you do 5. Like,
okay.
We'll go up from there, okay?
Fair enough.
Because that way we both have a little time to think. Okay, so if I'm going first, gosh, these are all so good. I'm going to say Long Island Iced Tea is 6 for me. It was good. I never had one before we did the Avengers episode. And I remember saying in our recording of it that my first sip of it, I took the glass away from my mouth and audibly said, oh no, because I could feel the alcohol go to my brain immediately.
Yeah, that was a strong one.
It was strong. It was very good. But I think the reason why I put it 6 is like looking at those others.
Yeah.
The Long Island Iced Tea wouldn't be the first one that I'm like, oh, hey, if I'm going to revisit one of our Phase 1 brews.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't be the first one.
Okay. Fair point.
What do you think?
I would say my least favorite out of this bunch is the Green Giant.
Wow.
Because that was a take on Mexican soda version of a margarita. But it just, the lime Jarritos has this weird aftertaste. And I don't know if it's because of like the sweetener in it, or if it may even be like sweetened with sugar, just regular sugar, not corn syrup.
It is. Yeah.
But it came off weird, and maybe it was a fake lime flavor or something, but I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. It didn't taste anything like a margarita to me. Whereas we have had some other things like Cali Mocho, which actually tastes like sangria, even though it's not sangria.
Yes. Yeah.
So although the color was very impressive, that for me, the flavor was not very, very good.
This is awesome. Okay, so Green Giant is 6 is the least favorite of the 6 brews that we have. Mine was Long Island Iced Tea. Yours is Green Giant. Going to our fifth.
And by the way, I should say it's not even called the Green Giant anywhere. I just called it that.
That's fine.
So if you're trying to look for a recipe for this, you're not going to find anything. If you're just going to find like frozen green beans. If you want to make a Green Giant, just look up a Jarritos tequila cocktail, and you'll find it.
Okay, so that was our least favorite, going to number 5 out of 6. Wow, this is tough. I'm going the KC Beer Hefeweizen.
Okay.
It might be because I drink it so often that I look at the other things. Again, I'm just like looking at like, okay, if I want to pick something I had to drink right now out of these 6 brews, it's like, oh, I know I could drive down the street and get Hefeweizen. We're spoiled by living in Kansas City. Like, I know.
True.
Like, we have that fantastic microbrewery. So, nothing against the taste of it. It's just more like, hey, I take for granted the accessibility because I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled by being able to get any KC beer or Boulevard Brewery product that we would ever want. But so that's my fifth.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a very solid beer.
Oh, yeah. Such a solid beer.
In fact, we're drinking KC beer right now. They're dunkel. So.
Yeah. So we obviously like it.
Yeah, but I totally see what you're saying. Yeah. It's like something that you can go and have at any time. Yeah. And it's not necessarily as complicated as some of these other ones are complex. Yeah.
Right. All right. What's 5 for you?
5 for me is the Long Island Iced Tea. Okay. This was also not one of my favorites, mm-hmm. although back in the day, I really did like this drink in college, and I did think it had iced tea in it, which is why I actually liked it. I thought it was, like something that, like a nice iced tea drink that has alcohol in it. And there's actually no tea in it.
Found that out later on.
But yeah, it's just so boozy. And mm-hmm. It tastes okay. You don't taste the booze, but it's not my jam. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to get smashed when I have a drink now in my 30s.
Yes.
I want to enjoy something and relax, not go down that road. So Long Island Iced Tea.
You and I have figured out something crucial in our age, that alcohol turns into more about recovery than it does pushing your boundaries.
Yeah, you don't look limits. At... Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You don't look at a drink anymore and say, ooh, how much fun is that going to equal? It's
exactly.
Mm-hmm. How much am I going to pay for this?
Yeah,
how
alcohol is no longer a volume game for us. It is a taste and temperance game for us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you see that overlay that the Terminator has, and it like highlights a drink.
Yes.
And it says, you know, if you drink this, -1 headache, -2 hungover the next day, -3, you'll be very sleepy the rest of the night. And so, you know, you get your final analysis out of it. And then there's maybe like a +1 for like, oh, it's a tasty drink. Like, no, that's not enough.
You can hear a robotic voice in your own head just saying, not worth it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Anyway. All right. all right. So
we're on number 4.
Yeah. So 6 was Long Island Iced Tea for me. Then it was KC Beer Hefeweizen. Your 6 was... Green Giant, and then Long Island Iced Tea. Okay. 4. I'm going Green Giant. I actually like the taste of this one. I actually really like the taste of this one. But just when I think of these other 3, I'm like, it doesn't match up with the flavor.
It can't really compete with
If Jarritos is your base, it's not gonna be it's not gonna stand the test
of it's not gonna be top shelf.
No, it's not. No, it is not. It's not even top shelf in any of your grocery stores. So
not to mention this was during our bootlegging phase of coronavirus where we were transporting these drinks in mason jars. So seeing this radioactive looking drink in a mason jar.
It
just kind of added to its appeal.
Gosh, when you're delivering drinks Dukes of Hazzard style and you get a green drink at your doorstep, you're like, did you make a mistake? Or
it really is the Hulk's blood.
Okay, 4 for you.
Number 4, I would have to put the Hefeweizen. Okay. The Hefeweizen there. Yeah. For some of the same reasons that you had mentioned. It's awesome. It's a great beer, and obviously I'm putting it above some of these other things that are mixed drinks, but the flavor is great. It's very, very good, solid beer that I think just appeals to a lot of people. Totally. And I often talk about, like, how easy is it to prepare? You know, how accessible is it? Yeah. And super easy, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, some of the other ones on this list are either just amazing or, you know, they're cocktails that just are just hard to compete with just a standard,
absolutely,
you know, like just a beer or just, you know, something like that.
Right. Wow. Okay. So that's four for you. Three for me is mead. We got our honey mead for Thor from the fine folks at Pirtle Winery in Weston, Missouri, which is just a short drive north from.
It's a hammer's throw away from
Kansas City. Yes, I like what you did there. And with that, we got our obligatory Mjolnir moment with this episode. This is where it gets tough with these drinks. Is this was a brew that I was like, you knew I loved the mead. Like, I loved that mead.
You got me some of that mead for your birthday.
Yeah, yeah. I loved that mead. It's such a smooth drink.
Need the mead.
That's the hashtag for for that one. So I'm just putting it there simply because I have to decide between three great drinks, and the other two cocktails are just so delicious and special that one of them has to be three. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
So anyway, three for no other reason than, hey, it's a tough choice. What do you think is three for you?
Fair enough. I'm going to say the old fashioned, actually.
Wow.
Which is probably a little surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising.
The mead was, in my opinion, exceptional. It was really
it's
good.
Really good.
That spoiler alert, that's my number two. Mm-hmm. But I love old fashions, and actually, I drink them often. Mm-hmm. It's a drink that I like a lot.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of things that, like, really blow me away, though, when I have a usual old fashioned, it doesn't, like, blow me away, right?
Sure.
There are some that I've had that, you know, really are just amazing ones.
Yes.
But I think overall it's a good standard drink. But I kind of look at an old fashioned like a Hefeweizen, you know?
That's a fair point.
It's a very good standard drink.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
There's a lot of people have had it.
Mm-hmm.
It's predictable.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah.
So but I love it. I mean, I would drink it, you know, go out to steak dinner. Yeah, I'll have an old fashioned.
Totally.
So,
of course. Okay. So, after I say number two, I guess I'll just kick it to you for number one.
Because we both have the same number one.
Yes, we do. yes, we do. I thought we would. So, number two is the old fashioned for me. And you had just said that, what is it? The mead is number two for you.
Yeah.
I put old fashioned as number two and just like a hair above the mead simply because I don't know what it is about an old fashioned, but like I don't know if nostalgia is the word, but there is a comfort to drinking one.
Yeah.
And, I'll drink that. And I'm like, this was exactly what I needed. This was the nightcap. This was the relaxer, whatever. And like the flavor palette of an old fashioned is totally something that I would enjoy.
Yeah.
Again, just a little above the mead.
Sure.
Just simply because like of that feel of it. But why do you put the mead at number two?
I put the mead at number two because that mead was amazing.
It is.
So Pirtle Winery knows what they're doing.
They do.
I've had mead before, and to be honest, it wasn't very good mead,
I think,
because I didn't really care for it,
mm-hmm.
Which was disappointing because I really wanted to like the drink of the Vikings, you know? Pirtle mead was amazing, and I'm a wine guy. I mean, you know this, Jake, but I drink a lot of wine, and typically I don't drink sweet wines.
Yeah, right.
But, man, this was delicious. I mean, it truly is like nectar of the gods,
Yeah.
I know I sound dramatic, but it's good.
Yeah, if you haven't tried it, like,
like, you have no clue what we're talking about. It's so worth trying to understand, like, why we're raving about it. Here's a good question. Is it actually amazing that Pirtle Winery can make such a great mead in the Midwest? Is that an amazing...
I don't know. I don't know enough about mead. I will say this. Mead is more like wine than anything.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, so...
Yeah.
So I guess that, just to put that out there for people that are like, well, I don't know. What is this mead stuff? Is it like beer? Because actually, I thought it was more... I was expecting something like beer initially. Same. When someone said, well, the Vikings drink it.
Exactly.
Like, I don't imagine a Viking drinking a glass of wine.
I imagine something in a giant...
horn mug.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. With a bunch of foam.
Yeah, a huge head on it.
Exactly. Yeah.
To leave a big mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's but no, it's like a very beautiful, delicate, I don't even know if you would say delicate because it's got quite a body, but it's an amazing drink.
Yeah.
Honey wine. Yeah. And I would suspect that good mead comes from good bees.
Yeah.
And part of that probably depends on the flowers that you have in the area. So maybe it is a really good place for that.
Sure,
But I really don't know enough about that to say. I mean, if you were to say, like, is Missouri a good, you know, place to grow grapes and make wine?
Yeah.
People have wineries here, but I don't know if I would say it's a good location.
Sure.
But yeah, bees, it's so different. You know, it's made by an animal.
Yeah, that's
true.
Well,
an insect, yeah.
So. Yeah. They have great beekeepers. So anyway, hey, we've had quite the extended commercial for Pirtle Winery, so we might as well say it's PIRTLE.
Yeah.
And I believe on Instagram it's just Pirtle at Pirtle Winery.
Yeah. It's definitely worth checking out.
Oh,
and
goodness,
we need to try their wine, honestly, because if their wine's anything like their meat,
it's gonna be fantastic.
It's amazing.
Well, hey, that leaves just one brew, and I think we both knew that this was gonna be number one. We had to have both.
It had to be.
The Naked and Famous Cocktail. So that was our Iron Man 2 brew. And, gosh, there's just such great history about the ingredients, specifically chartreuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I still fail to describe this drink and how great it tastes, how unique it is. But I will tell everybody who's listening to this, and anybody who's like, hey, if anybody ever asks me, like, hey, what's a cocktail that's, like, unique and I have to try, I will name this one.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I'm totally with you, man. I'm a history guy, and so the main reason I wanted to try this drink in the first place is the chartreuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I bought that bottle knowing, oh, man, this might be a bottle I buy and then I never actually drink. I will say this. If you buy a bottle of yellow chartreuse only to make Naked and Famous cocktails, you will use the whole bottle. It is that good. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a cocktail that's, I would say, like a strawberry lime sort of flavored cocktail. But that doesn't do it justice.
Because
it's not like just basic flavors.
No.
This is by far and away the most refined, like high-end drink from Phase One. A chartreuse, as we talked about in that episode of Iron Man 2, is a couple hundred years old. It's made with something like 200 different herbs. And originally it was made for health benefits, right? So it normally has like a very kind of licorice smell. And there's a green version and a yellow. We got the yellow version, which is supposedly sweetened with honey. And it's just... it is a smell that is hard to describe because it's delicious, but it smells unique. Like, there's nothing to compare it to. And again, it's probably all these herbs, right?
But yeah. Yeah.
It smells good.
Yeah. It's not, and like, we should clarify, like, this isn't us trying to say in way too many words, like, hey, it's an acquired taste. No, it's so palatable.
It's really
Yeah. And it's so friendly. I mean, like, I can't recommend that cocktail enough. If you're looking to revisit the recipe, it's on our Instagram page at Marvel Reviews and Brews. All of these recipes are actually on there, but like the Naked and Famous recipe is definitely at least worth a look.
Yeah.
Because it has this kind of herbal meets citrus meets, I don't know, kind of like, you know,
sweetness with the honey
exactly.
Strawberry sort of flavers from the Aperol. You get the lime because there's a little lime. And then just whatever you would call the flavor profile that comes through from chartreuse.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, if you really want to give it a go, but you don't want to buy Aperol, you don't want to buy chartreuse, go to a nice bar.
Yeah.
Go to like a speakeasy. And I guarantee you they probably have some chartreuse there.
Sure.
And they'll make you naked and famous. Mm-hmm. And it's just also like a sexy drink. Like you look at that and you make yourself one of those and you go, holy crap, I know how to make cocktails. Now, you could say that with the old-fashioned.
You could, yes.
But, you know, that's like, it looks like an impressive drink.
Yeah, yeah. Naked and Famous is one where when people see it, they're going to be like, what is that? You know, there's intrigue immediately with that one.
For sure.
And it's the perfect brew for Tony Stark.
Yeah, it is really perfect for him.
Mm-hmm. That's our show for Phase 1 review. Yeah, wow, that was good. I didn't think that was going to be as clear as it was going to be. Like, I felt clear on most important and least important, best character, ranking the brews. I feel clear about it.
Yeah, I do too. I see what you're saying. I kind of felt like it would be harder.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty straightforward, especially once you start talking through them, you kind of remember some of the aspects of the film that you didn't previously. Yes. But I think it was a really interesting phase. It laid the groundwork for all of the other phases. Mm-hmm. But if I had to characterize it a little bit, I would say a little bit more on the serious side. Yeah. Some of the films not as well explained.
Sure.
You know, overall, they focus a little bit more on, like, the origin stories, right?
So. Yeah, yeah. It was definitely the phase full of movies that were, like, that have you wondering, how well did this age? But super fun movies, and, gosh, shameless plug here. Go back, listen to those Phase 1 episodes if you haven't, guys. We had a lot of fun starting this podcast and taking the risk to just do this whole project. And we're really proud of it. Go back and those brews are just great.
They're solid brews. And I mean, we started this podcast on our phones.
Yes.
Recording phone calls. So you can start a podcast also with nothing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I guess it's time to sign off, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. And we will be doing a Phase 2 review. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon here, because we just finished and released Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing that, and then we'll be jumping into Phase 3, in which we have some really heavy hitters.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Well, hey, thanks again for listening, everyone, to Marvel Reviews and Brews. I'm Jake. Ken's with me as well. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our Instagram at Marvel Reviews and Brews, and please leave us a review on whatever platform you use to listen to our show. If you like our music, go check out Roger Pitt's music on Instagram as well to hear more from our composer. And look out for our Phase 2 review episode coming out soon.